Well, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. Please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. And we're going to read responsively. I'll read the odd verses. You can join me out loud on the even verses as we go through these first 21 verses here in John chapter 3. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto them, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth, truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Well, here we are in John chapter 3, in a familiar passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture. I love to use this passage of Scripture when I'm out soul winning and talking to people about the Lord. You see, this discourse between Nicodemus and Jesus was really, in the book of John, one of the first personal conversations that's kind of recorded. And how many of you have heard about this man Nicodemus before? Yeah, he's kind of a famous guy. He's also mentioned at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry as well. You heard the name Joseph of Arimathea, right? Well, who helped him take the body of Jesus and prepare him for burial? Nicodemus. Pretty fantastic, huh? And so we see this here. And of course, Nicodemus, if we were to kind of make our introduction to him, he was a Pharisee. He was a strict law keeper. He was a ruler of the Jews, a teacher of the Jewish religion. If you will, he was also one of the outstanding members of the Sanhedrin court, and notably an outstanding citizen. He had a position of leadership and of regard in the community. He was, if you will, above average as far as religious things go, right? Maybe even he was excellent in his ability in education. He was a studied man, right? He knew some things about Jesus, about the Scriptures, about religion, and about life.
if you will. Most folks that were part of these groups as Pharisees and as leaders in the Jewish religion and teachers or members of the Sanhedrin court were older individuals. You know, probably past the age of 40. Come on. I'll be 45 this year, so I fit in that category, all right? All right. So he was not a young pup, right? Not a spring chicken. He didn't just come on the scene. This man is a well-established man. You notice here in John chapter 3 that as a ruler of the Jews and as a Pharisee, as one who was held in high regard, notice how he came to Jesus. You see that in verse 2? The same came to Jesus by night. So although he obviously had some questions for the Lord, and if you will, maybe his interest was sparked by what Jesus had said and done and taught in the open public. So he wanted to kind of find some things out for himself. But he wasn't yet willing to risk his reputation in the community. He came to Jesus by night. By night. And so we see this interesting conversation begin to form and take place. And it says that he approached Jesus. Jesus didn't come to him. Jesus didn't kind of slip him an invitation while he was in town. Right? Or at the temple. He's like, hey, Nicodemus, come see me later. Right? So Nicodemus is curious. Now you'll notice here that he knew where to find Jesus. You see, these guys, their interest had been piqued, hadn't it? These Pharisees, these Sadducees, they were aware of the rumblings going on here. Again, this is early in the Lord's ministry and we see all these things starting to happen. And of course we read over and talked about in John chapter 1 and John chapter 2, the ministry of John the Baptist. And him crying out and the voice that one that crieth in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord and all these things. And these Pharisees came out to see him. They sent people to ask questions. And listen, it's like the CIA or the FBI. These guys were information gatherers. They had their thumb on what was going on in the community. They knew exactly what was going on. They had people that knew where people were, right? You understand this? How else would he know where to find the guy? You understand? So we see this all taking place. He comes to Jesus, and no doubt it was probably something where he kind of went one certain path and then maybe backtracked a little bit. And then he kind of went another way and he kind of looked over his shoulder. And then he kind of went a little further on and maybe just kind of hung out in a dark corner. And then he kind of made his way, maybe in a roundabout way, came where Jesus was. And maybe even some of the disciples were around and people were around Jesus and he kind of waited for a moment where Jesus was kind of off by himself. Maybe he had a cloak on and maybe something covering his head. Are y'all getting the picture? This was concerning to him. Everything was on the line. Him coming to ask Jesus these questions. Or to even explore the possibility that maybe there's something to this. Because you understand that this is going to overturn everything that he had been taught to date. So as he comes and approaches the Lord, he says that, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Who's we? The Pharisees. The Sanhedrin. The enemies, if you will. The ones that were opposing him. We know that you come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So southern terminology, they said, he said, we're dumb, but we ain't that dumb. Right? So they were not ignorant, completely ignorant of all these things. They had a sense of what was going on, and he's coming to ask him some of these things. So Jesus answers him and says unto him, and this is where we're going to kind of rest our thoughts today, on these phrases in verse 3 and in verse 5. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus gives an answer, and then Jesus answers him back in verse 5 and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Today I just want to present a thought to you of these words, except a man. Except a man. You see, as we look at what Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus comes to him and he's quoted as saying, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I do not see anywhere where Nicodemus looked at him and said, Master, could you tell us about how to get to the kingdom of God? Do you see that anywhere? But is that not the answer that Jesus gives to him? Where did this come from? Where did this answer of Christ come from? And why did this conversation take this direction? Because Jesus was in control, and he knew what Nicodemus wanted to ask before he asked it. You know, Jesus knows, doesn't he? And isn't the whole purpose of the existence of Christ is to bring lost sinners to repentance? Isn't the whole thing about this Bible that we have from cover to cover the redemption of mankind? We see in the beginning, God created all these things and created the heavens and the earth and the fish and the birds and the firmament and all these things and man and woman. And man sins against God, bringing condemnation, separation from God, eternal judgment, and what's necessary? A Savior. What's necessary? Salvation. And from that point forward in Genesis chapter 3, all the way to the end, we see this plan of God taking shape. How he loved so much, and we see in verse 16 that he gave his only begotten Son to be that sacrifice. And may I say to you today, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again. I want you to notice some things that Jesus says. I don't know how many times that you've read this passage of scripture as I have. But you ever notice something? Look at verse 3. Jesus answers Nicodemus and he says to him, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. We recognize all that, right? But how many of you have paid attention to the next phrase? He cannot see the kingdom of God. How many of you noticed that before? He cannot see it. So the first thing I want to focus on today is that except the man be born again, he cannot see. Back in John chapter 1, John says about the light that had come into this world, it came into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It talks about us as lost people, as those without Christ, being blind. And we cannot see. Groping around in the darkness and having no hope and being lost in our trespasses and sins. In Acts 26, Paul told of his testimony, that he was sent to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is Jesus speaking to Paul. In Matthew 15, Jesus himself said, account of his life and ministry. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. In Isaiah chapter 44, the Bible tells us about people that are worshiping other gods and have fallen into the trap of idolatry. It says, And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down to it and worship it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned a part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted the flesh and eaten it, and I shall make the residue thereof an abomination. Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? He feedeth on ashes and deceiveth, and deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, There is not a lie in my right hand. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians. You see, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You ever talk to people and you ask them the question, If you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? And some people might say, yes. Most might say, maybe. Some might say, no. For those who say maybe or no, maybe we would follow up and say, well, wouldn't you like to know how you could go to heaven? Some would say, yes. Most would say, I don't have time right now. Some would say, I don't want to talk about it. Because they're blind. They cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you there in 2 Corinthians? Look at chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember back in John 1, the Bible tells us that God sent this light, capital L, light, into this world. God wants people to see. And listen, if you go back to John 3, I don't think it's a mistake. I don't think it's just a flippant thing that Jesus specifically answered to a man who was seeking. I described to you how he probably went about his business that evening. Very covertly. Very secretively. He wanted to know something. And he wanted to know it pretty badly. And Jesus answered him and said, Except a man. Or how much do you want to bet that the thought process of Jesus was focused on Nicodemus? He could have just said, Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. As they came into this whole circumstance, the Pharisees were hard of heart. They did not want to see the Messiah come. They really didn't. Because that would mean they would be diminished. And he would be exalted. They weren't ready for that yet. They didn't want to see. They wanted to stay blind. But here's a man who actually got it. He actually was intrigued by it. He was actually his senses were tickled by it. He just had to find out. He wanted to see. And Jesus said, except the man be born again, Nicodemus, you cannot see. Remember back in John chapter 1, John the Baptist was a witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Even the Nicodemuses of the world. Even the hard of heart. Even the closed of eyes. Even those who said, no, we don't want to see it. But he kind of peeked it a little bit. He's like, oh, but I can't help it. I got to know. We know you're a teacher sent from God. Nobody can do these things that thou doest except to be sent from God. And in his heart, there was a yearning. And Jesus answered him and said, except be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Go back to our text. Nicodemus is an analytical mind. He's an educated man. He's a Pharisee. He's knowledgeable. So he makes a pretty rational statement. How can a man be born when he is old? Okay, Mr. Literal. literal thinker. Aren't you getting it yet? Maybe you're not as quick as you appear to be. How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Jesus tries again to explain to this man who is seeking truth the principle of salvation. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So now we have this thing of a little deeper explanation. So not only do we just need to understand being born again. No, Nicodemus, not physically born, spiritually born. You know, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that was born of the spirit is spirit. He said, be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot... Wait a minute. He changed words. That must be a mistake in the King James Bible. It's got to be an error. Not only except a man be born again, can he not see, but can he not enter? You ever notice that? Come on now, be honest with me. How many of you have read your Bibles maybe dozens of times or maybe even hundreds of times or whatever the case may be, and you never paid attention that Jesus the first time said you cannot see, and now he says you cannot enter. Interesting, huh? He says, except a man be born again. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Hey, not only can we not see it, we can't even comprehend it. We can't even have a glimpse of it. But certainly, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God without being born again. Jesus said in Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Over in Luke chapter 13, it's a continuation of this idea. It says, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You ever ask somebody, hey, would you like to go to heaven? How many of you have ever gotten a no? Now, I have in a few sarcastic circumstances. And some of those ignorant people would say, no, I want to go to hell with all my buddies. Okay, well, yeah. That's not how it works. But no, honestly, how many of you have asked somebody about heaven, would they like to go to heaven, and you've ever gotten a no? Not really. How many of you have ever gotten a yes? Yes, I'd like to go to heaven. Because guess what? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Yeah? He says here that they want to go, but they're not going to be able to. Why can they not enter? Because they're not born of water and of the Spirit. They're not born again. They cannot enter. Jesus continues here in Luke 13. And he says, then shall he begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, they are there are last which shall be first. And there are first which shall be last. Over in Matthew 25, Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the glory of the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and he took me in, naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick and are in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to life eternal. Cannot enter. There are not many ways to heaven, folks. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. She said, I'm the shepherd. She said, my sheep hear me. They know my voice, and they follow me. Listen, Well, you understand, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you got to be a sheep. You must be born again. You must be born of water. That's the physical birth. And you must be born of the Spirit. That's the spiritual birth. In order to live forever, you got to live. You got to be born twice. If you're only born once, you're going to die twice. Physical death and eternal damnation. So go back to our text. You did pretty well today. We might be a little bit over. Because we have one more point. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on to say in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. As Jesus continues to this discourse with Nicodemus, this personal conversation, more than likely off by themselves in the darkness, no one else knowing this is going on. You understand that this is really important to Jesus. This is really important to Nicodemus. It ought to be really important to us. As he goes on and explains, and of course, Jesus kind of rebukes him a little bit. He says, how can you not know these things? In verse 10. Then he goes on to talk about this thing that we've certainly heard over and over again in our lives. About himself. The Son of God that came into this world to provide eternal life in verse 15, and in verse 16, everlasting life. Can I tell you something? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And except a man be born again, he cannot have life. Cannot. Cannot have life. The Bible is very clear that life comes through Jesus Christ. You say, but I'm a living, breathing human being. I have life. Yes and no. You know the only life worth living is life in Christ. It is. And really, until you're born again, you don't have life. You just maybe have existence. Can you really call it life without Christ? We should be able to argue that, can't we? It's worthless. It's hopeless. It's defunct without Jesus Christ. What is life worth? What does the Bible say? What shall it profit a man if he have all this life, but what? Lose his own soul. It's no profit. It's not really life until you're born again. When you're born again, it's life. In John chapter 5, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So except you be born again, what do you have? Death. And if you are born again, what do you have? He that hath the Son, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. You guys are very quick. Isn't this amazing? Not only can we not see the kingdom of God, and not only can we not enter in the kingdom of God, but we don't even have life except we're born again. Are you walking around as one that has life in a dark world, in a world full of death and dead people, and not trying to bring them to life? What a shame. What a shame. 1 John chapter 5, The Bible tells us this is he that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness. Because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Remember what it said in John chapter 1 and verse 4? That in him, that's the Word that was in the beginning with God and the Word that was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you follow along down in, at the end of John chapter 3 and verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I just wanted to be an encouragement and a blessing to you today. Maybe for some who were like Nicodemus. It says, you know, there's something about this Jesus, this Christianity, this Bible, this God. I want to know a little bit more. Can I, like Jesus, answer and say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. And except you're born again, you cannot have life. Except a man.